Now, let me tell you something that I found even more important when I was doing the research about the Human Genome Project. That project was developed, and they went forward with that, hoping to find out and learn about all these genes in the human being so that they could then create drugs because they could make a link. And it was all done under the guise of, we'll be able to treat anything that comes along, recognize it early, we'll make sure life is better. But what they were really doing was trying to make as much money as they possibly could by learning this information. And sadly for them, all those genes don't exist. But there's not a day that goes by, certainly not a week that goes by, that we don't hear about or see about that story, the latest, greatest gene that's been revealed. And now we can treat this or treat that based on that gene. They're still struggling because they spent a lot of money on this project and they worked very hard to get the information put together. I don't think it's genetic. And I know that Dr. Wallach doesn't think it's genetic. I mean, I am very hard-pressed. I know that there are some things that happen in the womb, and babies are born sometimes with issues and problems. But you cannot tell me that all of a sudden, amazingly enough, all of these children are being born with a peanut allergy or a gene that predisposes them to a peanut allergy. You can't convince me all of these children are being born with a gene that predisposes them to ADD, ADHD. You've got to look to the environment. There's more to it than that. And when we look to the environment, we look at some of the things that influence the way we go through life, influence the changes in the things that we do to keep ourselves healthy and to keep ourselves well. And one of the biggest things right now is food. And I know we've heard about this over the last couple of days. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But we have to talk about wheat just for a minute, because we have to recognize that the wheat that we eat is not the wheat our ancestors ate. And I have to, you know, you are an educated group, and I have to tell you that it's fascinating to me, even today, knowing all of the people that I know in longevity, to see those people who still haven't gotten to that point. Now, I'm not going to be critical. I'll still eat a piece of bread. And for those of you who were out to dinner with me the other night, I even ate pasta for the first time, and I can't remember when. I know, I did. I did. However, it is not something that I routinely do. I'm not one of those that is so ill affected by wheat. But let me tell you something funny about that. When we talk about the ill effects of wheat, a lot of people say, oh, I can eat wheat. Gluten doesn't bother me. I don't get bloating, diarrhea, gas, cramps. I don't get any of those problems. I want you to know, whether you get those GI problems or not, doesn't matter. There are two very good books out right now, both of which indicate very clearly what they've done to wheat, but more specifically, the fact that you can have all kinds of issues with a cardiovascular system, diabetes, obesity, or the other book written talks about all the problems you can have neurologically and not have 1 minute's gut problem. So we have to recognize wheat is not good. It's not healthy. I want you to look at this. I mentioned this to someone just before we went to lunch, and they were like, wow, I didn't know that. When we, everybody know what glycemic index is? Yeah. We're all familiar with glycemic index. I want you to look just there for a minute on that slide. Whole grain bread, glycemic index of 72 versus a Mars bar with a glycemic index of 68 or a Snickers bar with a glycemic index of 41. Now, how many of you were aware of that? And so when we talk to people, especially people who have blood sugar issues, if they're eating their sandwich on whole wheat bread, what are they doing to themselves? Okay? Now, if you wonder what we find wheat in, this is a good example, okay? Everything, right?
Whose house is that?
Fortunately, this is one of those stock photos off the internet, okay? All right, now let's talk just a minute about nutritional misunderstandings, because this is another way we get ourselves into trouble and we don't realize it, all right? When I talk about nutritional misunderstandings, I'm talking about food labeling. Food labeling is an important thing because people are starting to sit up and take notice, read the food label, to understand what's in their food. But what a lot of people don't understand, because of the way the food label is designed, is calories per serving and serving size. Now, my example is nuts. Anybody like nuts? I love nuts, okay? Give me a handful of nuts, that's great. Give me two handfuls, it's even better. Just give me the whole can. However, you have to understand, if you're looking at this label, it says 190 calories. Well, that's less than 200, not so bad. 190 calories per 1/4 cup of nuts. So, nuts are a good source of protein. Nuts are a good source of healthy fats. But nuts are also high in calories, so you have to pay attention. You have to be careful. Now, this is going to knock your socks off, but just sit back and relax for a minute, okay? I use this example. I do not ever suggest that people eat this product, mostly because of what you can't see that's off the end of the slide, okay? All of those things you can't pronounce. But the point I'm trying to make, a mom's going through the grocery store, the kid's wailing and carrying on, wants Pop-Tarts. So we buy the Pop-Tarts, we go home, and we open the Pop-Tarts. Now, you don't have to raise your hand. I don't know how many of you have ever eaten Pop-Tarts, but if you have, I would be willing to bet that there is a strong chance you have not opened the packet, pulled out one pastry, and closed the packet to save it for the next day.